Hillary, woman named Elijah David, minister of the 12,000 Apostolic Seventh Adventist Congregation, out of 12,000 Libertyville, Texas. Today is July 28, 2016. Or it's 8:25, 2020. We're going to start our first service today with a song entitled, For the Love of Yahweh. The love of Yah is greater far than tongue or pen can ever tell. It goes beyond the farthest star and reaches to the lowest hell. The guilty pain that done with care, Yah gave His Son to wear. His erring child He reconciled and pardoned from his sin. The love of Yah, rich and pure, measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. When holy times shall pass away, and earthly thrones and kingdoms fall, when men who hear all refuse to pray, for rocks and hills and mountains call, Yah's love so sure shall still endure, so measureless and strong. Redeeming grace through Adam's ray, this is an angel. The love of Yah, rich and pure, Yah measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Could be within the ocean filled, and where the skies of parchment made, but every wash off on earth that will, and every man a shroud but faith, let the love of Yah above, would drain the ocean dry. Not to the scroll contain the whole, who stretch from sky to sky. O love of Yah, rich and pure, O measureless and strong, it shall forevermore endure, this is an angel's song. Part 6, we're on Everlasting Kingdom. We're dealing with the Kingdom track entitled Jubilee as well, 1998 by Brother W. Johnson. And so we're going to pick up where we left off. We're going to read Proverbs, though, first. Our prayer thoughts are going to be taken from Proverbs chapter 16. And see where we go from there. It says, the preparations of the heart and man and the answer of the tongue is from Yahweh. All the ways of man are clean in his own eyes, but the Yahweh weigheth the spirit. Commit thy works unto the Yahweh, and thy thoughts shall be established. Well, you know, I woke up early this morning and the Holy Spirit came over me, and I had purpose in my heart that I was going to spend every moment of my time in the message and doing what Yahweh tells me to do every moment of the day. And so he gives me this prayer thought this morning, and this goes right along with what he told me this morning. He says, commit thy works unto the Yahweh, and thy thoughts shall be established. So when I committed my works to him, he established my thoughts for today and every day. The Yahweh hath made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Okay, now this is awesome. The Yahweh hath made all things for himself, including his Son. His Son is his first creation. Yahweh has the power to create, and he thoroughly enjoys creating. And it's so sad to look out over the world and see the teeming millions upon millions of people all over the world, and you see them in groups of 10, 15, 20,000 at a time on the television. You see them there, and they see them flocked around the Pope there in Poland by the tens of thousands, and they all have it in their heart that they want to be delivered out of their oppression. And when the Pope comes along, he is their ray of hope. And they turn out for him, and they just worship him like they do Yahweh. They worship him just like a king. I mean, they just, like a deity, yeah, like Yahweh. And so, they're enthralled with him. And yet they are totally in darkness, in midnight darkness. They know not what one truth is. And then you've got our leaders in this country, totally in darkness. We got a man named Donald Trump that has been raised up to lead this United States, first and foremost, out of this tremendous darkness that she's been. So you have to do it little by little, and start with first things first, and you got to start with one of their own. Donald Trump was raised up among them. He's someone that they're familiar with. They know all about him for the last 70 years since he was born. They've known about Donald Trump and his family for 70 years here in this world. And they know for the last 50 years, they know his successes that he has accomplished. This man has accomplished great, mighty things as far as a man's ability here on earth and his own power can do. He's accomplished just tremendous things, insurmountable things. And so he's given the people here in the United States and the world a ray of hope. Now, I'm talking about the Christian community. The Pope is going around the world giving the Catholic community a ray of hope. They're looking to him for a ray of hope. But Yahshua is not lifted up before the world as this ray of hope that they need. But that's what our calling is. And so Yahshua says, and if I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me. Not unto Donald Trump or the Pope or anyone else in the world. And there's thousands of these here gods, these walking, talking idols that are worshipped as gods all over the world. And I just feel so sad for the multitude. Okay, let's go ahead to Proverbs 16. It says, everyone that is proud in the heart is an abomination to the elder. Though hand join in hand, he shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged, and by the fear of the Yahweh, men depart from evil. Now, you have to have this fear of Yahweh to depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Yahweh, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. Now, this is a wonderful thing. When a man's ways please the Yahweh, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. How sweet it is. Better is a little with righteousness than great revenues without right. A man's heart devises his way, but the Yahweh directs his steps. A divine sentence is in the lips of a king. His mouth transgresses not in judgment. A just weight and a balance are the Yahweh's. All the weights of the bag are his work. It is an abomination to kings to commit wickedness, for the throne is established by righteousness. Righteous lips are the delight of kings. And they love him that speaketh right. The wrath of a king is as messengers of death, but a wise man will pacify it. And the light of king's countenance is life, and his favor is as a cloud of the latter rain. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold? And to get understanding, rather to be chosen than silver. And if I was to look real hard, I could probably go to Daniel at about 2:21 and read a similar wording. It says that, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom unto the wise, and knowledge unto them that know understanding. Okay, so he gives wisdom to the wise. That's the only ones he gave it to. So how much better is it to get wisdom than gold? I've got a metal detector here that I bought. I thought, well, I would just go right around this area where I live and go checking for, see if I can find some precious metal, gold, silver. But I didn't buy it to make it a career. I just bought it because it's good to have a metal detector to detect other metals that maybe you need to get out of the way. Pick up off the ground, you know. But anyway, it's good to have one. But I don't have time to go searching for gold and silver like that. I could spend all day, and I could spend maybe a year, and I'd never find any. Well, that would be a waste of time, total waste of time. For the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. Pride goeth before destruction, and the haughty spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of a humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth the matter wisely shall find good. And whosoever trusteth in the Yahweh, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. Now how about that? The heart of the wise teaches his mouth and addeth learning to his lips. In other words, he teaches new things every day because the Spirit is there to be his teacher. Now how is that happen? Well, In Isaiah 54:13, it tells us here that Yahweh is the teacher of all of his children. And he says that, and all thy children shall be taught of the Yahweh, and great shall be the peace of thy children. All of Yahweh's the children is taught by him. And then it says there in Isaiah 54:14, it says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, for thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. And the number one word in the world today is terrorist. It's on the lips of everyone when they rise and when they go to bed. Terrorist is rampant all over the world. But here Yahweh says, in righteousness shalt thou be established. Thou shalt be far from oppression, but thou shalt not fear, and from terror, for it shall not come near thee. Now I think about all the terror going on and all the threats going on by the terrorist people. They're going to strike the United States, they're going to strike here, and they're going to strike there. Well, they are striking the heart, terror in the hearts of people all over the world. And people that don't have this knowledge that we have and know what we know, they are fearful. Every time they see a news item that shows where the terrorists are struck again, people get fearful of wherever they live. Oh my goodness, they say, what am I going to do if it happens here? What would I do? I could be killed like them people. Yeah, you could be. All right. Now we go back to Proverbs 16. Now let's go read that verse 16 again. Proverbs 16:16. How much better is it to get wisdom than gold, and to get understanding rather to be chosen than silver? For the highway of the upright is to depart from evil. He that keepeth his way preserveth his soul. God goeth before destruction, and an unhardy spirit before a fall. Better it is to be of an humble spirit with the lowly than to divide the spoil with the proud. He that handleth a matter wisely shall find good, and whosoever trusts in the Yahweh, happy is he. The wise in heart shall be called prudent, and the sweetness of the lips increases learning. Okay, and understanding is a wellspring of life unto him that hath it, but the instruction of fools is folly. Now this is where I left off on verse 23. The heart of the wise teaches his mouth, and addeth learning unto his lips. Pleasant words are as an honeycomb, sweet to the soul, and health to the bones. There is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Now that's in Proverbs 16:25. He that laboreth for himself, for his mouth craveth it of him. An unrighteous man diggeth up evil, and in his lips there is as a burning fire. A forward man soweth strife, and a whisperer separateth chief friends. A violent man enticeth his neighbor, and leadeth him into the way that is not good. He shutteth his eyes to devise forward things. Moving his lips, he bringeth evil to pass. The hoary head is a crown of glory, if it be found in the way of righteousness. He that is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he that ruleth his spirit than he that taketh the city. The Lord is cast into the lap, but the whole disposing thereof is of the Yahweh. That ends our prayer thought on Proverbs 16. Zechariah 3:1-4. We're going to go into our track, the Kingdom Jubilee 1998, like I said before, with Brother Stephen Johnson. We're on page 5, and we're going to do a little review. It says, admonition number 4 is, hear now, O Joshua, the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I bring forth my servant the branch. Zechariah 3:8. Now, the servant, the branch, is antithetical Joshua, the son of Josedek. He equals Elijah, David. Antithetical Elijah and also antithetical David. This is Zechariah 3. So when he says, behold, I'll bring forth my servant, the branch, he's talking about antithetical Elijah. And so, this David, name for this Elijah, just like John the Baptist was the name for the Elijah of his day. Alright, so now he says, obviously then, as a result of this revival and reformation within the Latter Day Church, another church emerges of which Joshua is in charge of, not the angel of Laodicea. Time of Greetings, volume 1, and number 8, page 24. Right, now, I've got that book in front of me, V.T. Hala. I don't know exactly when he wrote this Time of Greetings, 1946. So, he wrote the Time of Greetings then. And that's been about 70 years ago. Okay, so now, he said, whenever this church emerges, with Joshua in charge, he's called my servant the branch. So, Brother Johnson called himself the Isaac branch in 1970. He turns out to be the angel of Laodicea. Now, I'm going to read you something else now, just a minute. Here in Tract 15 by V.T. Hollis, entitled To the Seven Churches, on the very front page of this tract, it's with the title of The Seven Seals. Now, what's so interesting is that we're going to find out that this book of seven seals has its beginning with the first book at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And so there are seven books of records kept on all the saints, only the saints, from the Adam down to the 12th parabolic jar that we're in right now. And we're in that seventh book. That seventh book has been opened. The other six have been opened and closed, because once the judgment's taken place and finished for each one of them books, close the book back up. And all the names retained in those six books that has already been closed, they will come forth when the one that's in charge of the seventh book calls for them to come forth. Okay, and then it says, then the books will be opened. First, they're investigating, the record is kept, and then there's a time when the books are closed. Then the books are open, starting the judgment. And then once you get through judging all those books, numbers, the six books on the judgment of the dead, and you close them up. And then the book of the seventh seal opens up, and the one in charge of that one, then he's given a command at a later date to open up those other six books, and everybody whose names are found written in those six books shall come forth at the command of that one in charge of that seventh book. Now, here on the first page of this seven seals, Tract 15 is called To the Seven Churches. It says, the signs of the time. For the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which Elohim gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of the Elohim and of the testimony of Yahshua Messiah, and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. Revelation 1:1-3. Yahshua Messiah gave the revelation for the showing unto his servants things which were shortly to come to pass. Okay, now, remember I read to you earlier, it says there in Zechariah 3, it says, verse 8, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch. So now here's a servant, he's got the name Branch attached to him. And now here we have John the Revelator in Revelation 1:1-3. It says, the revelation of Yahshua Messiah, which the Father, Yahweh, gave unto him to show unto his servants. What servants? Those seven servants in charge of those seven candlesticks, the seven churches of Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea, in that order. Well, we know when John the Revelator was given this vision, about 90 A.D., those seven churches had already been named and had come and gone. And they started about 1000 B.C. By the time John the Revelator came on the scene and was shown this vision of the seven seals and the seven churches, the seven original churches that laid down the names for these seven in Revelation 2 and 3 had already come and gone. Laodicea was one of them, was the seventh one. And that city had already come and gone. Well, it may still have been on the scene at the time, but I'm just saying, the church called by its name, Laodicea, was no longer to be reckoned with. So we're talking about the seven churches in Revelation 2 and 3 for these last days. That's going to emerge from the Reformation intact with a message that Yahshua was given from the Father to convey unto John the Revelator, to convey unto his servants, the seven servants of the seven candlesticks, the seven churches of Asia Minor. So now, John the Revelator had the information written in Revelation, the whole 22 chapters, which covered the seven seals. Everything written in the book of seven seals was recorded in 22 chapters of Revelation. And those the information in those 22 chapters was supposed to be given to his servant in charge of the 12th hour. And that's the only servant that is to understand all the prophecies given to the seven churches that had gone before him. So it says, Yahshua Messiah gave the revelation to show unto his servants, those seven in charge of the seven candlesticks, things which must shortly come to pass, to prepare the way for the vision of the things. The voice introduced the subject with a special message to each of the seven angels, leadership, who had charge of the seven candlesticks churches, respectively. These messages are recorded in the chapters 2 and 3. Next was John led to see the solemn proceedings of the series of events. After this I looked, and behold, a door was open in heaven, and the first voice which I heard was as it were of a trumpet talking with me, which said, Come hither, and I will show thee things which must be hereafter. And immediately I was in the spirit, and behold, a throne was set in heaven, and one sat on the throne, and he that sat was looked upon like a jasper and sardine stone. And there was a rainbow round about the throne, and sat like unto an animal, and round about the throne were 24 seats. And upon the seats I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white raiment, and they had on their heads crowns of gold. Okay, we're going to stop right there, and I want to go back and make my point more clear why I'm reading this. It's because Yahshua's message that the Father gave him was to John the Revelator to record and address the seven servants of the seven candlesticks, and they would receive all of the understanding of everything written in the 22 chapters of the book of Revelation. And but it's that last one in charge of Laodicea, the seventh one, that is the most responsible one, because he's the last one that Yahshua's message from John the Revelator is to him. And he brings up the end of the line for the spiritual Israel of today. And so we got to, the Theotokos wrote this, like I said, 70 years ago. And his only notion was that the Seventh-day Adventist, the leaders, represented the angel of Laodicea. And so he addressed them that way. But nobody else, after the Theotokos died, addressed the Adventist. Yavrotus did. He addressed them as Laodicea, because he beholded them. And so, naturally, Brother Johnson would never understand and interpret the prophecies to say that, hey, I'm this angel of the Laodicea, and I didn't even know it. But here the prophecy says so, no. He interpreted the prophecies to see his own way of thinking at all times. So it says that, so when Brother Johnson wrote this tract, 1998, he says here on page 5, he said, he quotes V.P. Harder, for V.P. Harder said, obviously then, as a result of this revival reformation within the Laodicean church, another church emerged which Joshua is in charge of, not the angel of Laodicea, 1 TGR 8. 24, paragraph 3. So now, let's go read what the V.P. Hollis said about that from his own book, TGR 8. He says here on page 23, the first one to be given the garment is Joshua, talking about Zechariah 3. Let's read a little earlier. Zechariah 3, 1 to 4. And he showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of Yahweh. Okay. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Now this angel of the Yahweh is Yahshua. Yahweh is the Father. We used to not teach it that way, but this is the way it should be taught. And Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Yahweh said unto Satan, Yahweh rebuked thee, O Satan, even the Yahweh that hath chosen Yahushua rebuked thee. Is not this a brand plucked out of the fire? So, the little brand plucked out of the fire was antithetical Elijah. Now Joshua, but he had the name of Joshua here, and Joshua is another name for David, as we can help point out in another place. Now Joshua was clothed with the filthy garments and stood before the angel, and he answered and spake unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him, and write, and unto him he said, give, or behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with a change of raiment. It says now, the first one to be given the garment is Joshua, the high priest, the highest official in the church. Now look at this. Now when I was at Kermit, Texas, It so happens that I became recognized by heaven as the highest official at Gilead Center because I had this title of this antiquity, Joshua the son of Josedek. Okay. If he has not the garment, or if Elijah David, Daniel Kermit, didn't have the garment, then no one else has it either. So if I didn't have it, because the first thing I told was repent and get your filthy garments changed. You got to put on clean garments. Okay, so there it is right there. They said, from this we see that the genuine revival reformation starts at the head and not at the feet. And that before one is given the right to put the garment on, his iniquity is taken away, he repents of his sins. There you have it. And the Yahweh blots them out. That's on the Day of Atonement, see? Satan, though, is right there to resist and accuse him. Okay, but thanks be to Yahweh that Yahweh is also there to rebuke the enemy. Okay, it says Yahshua is there to rebuke the enemy. So he's Yahshua was the one that was there all the time refereeing that contest between Satan and the angel standing before this Joshua standing before the angel. Thanks be to Yahweh that Yahshua is also there to rebuke the enemy. Do you catch the lesson, brother, sister? While you are getting the garment, you will have to meet strong opposition. And here's the strong opposition from your former brethren. Or not your former brethren, but the ones that are your current brethren. But what of it? Is it too much to stand firmly for the truth and righteousness when the majority forsake? And how else shall you become a hero for Elohim? Is Matthew 5, 10, and 12. Okay. The apostles and the prophets not only withstood opposition from their own brethren, but they even gladly died for their white garment. You, though, are not now asked to give up your life, but to save it. The tables are now reversed. So now, when the Yahweh gave me a message from heaven to give the verse, that message was not to cost him his life. That message was sent to save his life. You see it? Yahshua will not permit you to be consumed by the fire, or by the flame. He is to rescue as a brand plucked out of the fire. So what he was doing was sending a judgment message to the church at Laodicea, because judgment began at the house of Yahweh there, 1 Peter 4:17. And Brother Johnson was the first one to come under the judgment call. And what was it for? Get his filthy garments changed so he could save his life. He refused to get his filthy garments changed so it cost him his eternal soul salvation. He is the rescue king. From this we see that the Joshua of the day is having his filthy garments exchanged for white robes for the righteousness of the Yahshua. Verse 5, and I said, let them set a fair martyr upon his head. So they set a fair martyr upon his head and clothed him with garments, and the angel of the Yahweh stood by. Not only is he clothed in a white garment, but he is also crowned with a fair mitre. Okay, and what could such a mitre denote only than the authority vested in him as heaven's appointed ruler? As such, he is flows from his head to his feet. And the angel of Yahshua stood by. What a gift. And what a bodyguard, for one, to have in a world such as ours. In spite of it, though, human beings are very slow and hesitant to take their stand on Yahshua's side. Most of them had rather lean on a man. Okay, says verse 8, "Hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows that sit before thee, for they are men wondered at. For behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch." Here's this servant, the branch. Now, who is that servant? Joshua chapter, Zechariah chapter 3 says it's Joshua the son of Jehozadak. He also said Joshua the son of Jehozadak is antithetical David. Right? Not only Joshua, but also those who sit before him, parentheses, the congregation, are admonished to hear this charge. Okay, so Gilead Center was admonished to hear this charge from this servant of branch. So it's hard to hear a message from someone that's identified as my servant of branch when you think that you had already been named at that branch 33 years earlier. It's hard. It would be hard for anyone to accept that under those circumstances. And admonished to hear this charge. And what kind of men are they? Men wondered at. This symbolism shows that at the fulfillment of this prophecy, the angel of the Church of the Latter Saints is no longer in charge of the Yahshua's house. The Elohim people are to be made up wholly of men wondered at. Obviously, then, as a result of this revival and reformation within the Latter Saints Church, another church emerges of which Joshua is in charge, not the angel of Laodicea. Now, you see there, if this Joshua, the son of Joseph, is antithetical to David, and David is in the congregation of antithetical King Saul, Brother Stephanie Johnson, then he'd have to be addressing the angel of the seventh candlestick, Laodicea, at the time that this message met its fulfillment. Okay. So it says, so now Joshua, my servant, which is called Joshua, my servant, the branch, he is the one in charge and not angel that is here. In it there are to be neither terrors, so in this here kingdom here of heaven, which is called the kingdom of David, the 12th parabolic hour, is not to be mingled with wheat and tares. As it stands right now, 144,000 yet to be disclosed to you, which is produced by the Adventist Church. And so until they're disclosed to view, we'll have to conclude that they are commingled in with the terrors, the 144,000. In it there are to be neither terrors, Matthew 13:30, dead fish, Matthew 13:47, 48, or ghosts, Matthew 25:32. The latter sin, the servant is the last that is coming, as is commingled with hypocrites, saints, and sinners. So this angel of Laodicea, he represents the last church that is commingled with hypocrites, saints and sinners, wheat and tares, good fish and bad fish. Don't get much clearer than that. Who is to bring this revival and reformation, the great charge? The branch. Now, who is this branch? My servant, the branch, is this antithetical Joshua, the son of Jehozadak, which is the antithetical Elijah, or David, David has two names. He has Elijah, which is two parts of Yahweh's name, Eliyahu, and it represents two parts of Yahweh's name, and David. So this branch, and that's another name for Yahshua. So Yahshua gives his servant the identity as the branch. And according to Isaiah 11:1-5, the branch is Yahshua, the son of David, who shall now read verse 9. For behold, the stone that I have laid before Joshua upon one stone shall be seven eyes. Behold, I will engrave the graving thereof, says the Yahshua of hosts, and will remove the iniquity of that land in one day. Those who sit before Joshua are men wondered at. Okay. As such, they are depicted by the stone. Church or kingdom, that is, in Joshua's sight, it has seven eye perfect vision. When this purification of the church takes place, then the sin is in the land is quickly removed in one day. Okay, so these men wondered at that sits before Joshua. There have to be the 144,000. Okay. Well, actually, these men that sit before Joshua, which is this here as a servant, the branch, in Zechariah 6, it talks about four servants that assist Joshua, and they are given crowns also to put on their heads. Here is seen a genuine revival reformation accompanied by the purification of the church. Yahshua is to have a pure church and a clean people. Pure church and a clean people. Verse 10. In that day, saith Yahshua of hosts, shall ye call every man his neighbor under his vine and under his fig tree. Okay, that's let's go now back to our track number Brother Johnson's track, The Kingdom. Now that's admonition number 4, commenting there on that Joshua the son of Joseph there, Zechariah 3, angel of Laodicea. Now, admonition and number 4, the question is asked, who is the brandest revival and reformation, this great change? And the answer is the branch. So who is the branch? Joshua, the son of Josedek. The antithetical Joshua, the son of Josedek, is this branch. According to Isaiah 11:1 and 10:12. The branch brought to you is the Yeshua that grows out of the roots of Jesse. 1 TGR 8, page 24, paragraph 4. Admonition number 5. And there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of his roots. Okay, so a rod comes out of the stem of Jesse, which is the shepherd rod. The Jesse is the Adventist church. And in that day, there shall be a root of Jesse, which shall stand for an ensign. So this root of Jesse is the branch. And who represents this branch? My servant the branch, Joshua the son of Antipas, Joshua the son of Joseph. To it shall the Gentiles see, and its rest shall be glorious. Now, Brother Johnson thought that he was this Joshua the son of Joseph, but he never connected him up to my servant the branch, because he connected Joshua the son of Nun 28 years earlier to his name, has been in charge of the Isaac branch message of 1970. So he's got Joshua, son of Nun, in charge of the Isaac branch, and now we got Joshua, son of Josedek, in charge of Joshua, son of Josedek, the branch. Okay. So actually, this would then be this new name for this new movement here, the 12th hour, the House of David, should be called David, House of David, the branch, or the branch of the House of David. Okay. From this, we are compelled to realize that the church in which Joshua is in charge of is the antithetical daughter of Jerusalem, pointed out in Micah 4:8, the one coming out of the roots of Jesse. Admonition number 6 is, that was admonition number 5, now admonition number 6 is it. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with a white garment. Then the angel of the Yahweh stood by. Now who is this angel of the Yahweh? Yahweh is the Father. Well, I used to say the angel of Yahshua, but no, it's the angel of Yah, and Yahshua is the angel of Yahweh, the Father. Okay? But TGR 823, paragraph 4. So it says, not only is he clothed in a white garment, but he is also crowned with a fair mitre. So, that endorsement has already been granted, and it was in 2002 at Kermit. So it says, and what could such a mitre denote other than the authority vested in him as heaven's appointed ruler? And as such, he is clothed from his head to his feet. And the angel of the Yahshua, no, the angel of the Yahweh, is all capital letters, so all uppercase. And this is right, the angel of Yahweh, which is Yahshua, stood by. What a gift, and what a bodyguard for one to have in a world such as ours. See, the thing is, when Brother Johnson wrote this tract, when he said the angel of Yahweh, he should have put angel in capital letter, the A in capital letter, then he should have said parentheses Yahshua. Should have been parentheses Yahshua of the Father Yahweh Elohim stood by. What a gift and what a bodyguard for one to have in a world such as ours. In spite of it though, human beings are very slow and hesitant to take their stand on the Yahweh side, 1 TGR 8, page 23, paragraph 5. And I just happen to have that book right here in front of me, and I'm on page 23, and I think I've read it all. For the apostles and the prophets not only withstood up opposition from their own brethren, but they even gladly died for their white garment. You, though, are not now asked to give up your life, but to save it. The tables are now reversed. Yeshua will not permit you to be consumed by the flame. He is to rescue as a brand plucked out of the fire. From this we see that Joshua of the day is having his filthy garments exchanged for white robes for the righteous of Yeshua. Okay, so the righteous Yeshua then is taught after this Joshua gets this change of garments. Okay, and so that would be the righteousness of Yahshua then would be taught in the 12th parabolic hour. It wasn't taught in the 11th parabolic hour. If it had been, then everybody in the 11th parabolic hour had an opportunity then to perfect righteousness. But they didn't do it, so it shows right here that it wasn't for that time period. Verse 5. And I said, let them set a fair mitre upon his head. So they set a fair mitre upon his head and clothed him with garments. And the angel of the Yahweh stood by. Not only is he clothed in a white garment, but he is also crowned with a fair mitre. And what could such a mitre denote other than the authority vested in him as heaven's appointed ruler? As such, he is clothed from his head to his feet. And the angel of the Yahweh stood by. What a gift, what a bodyguard for one to have in a world such as ours. In spite of it, So human beings are very slow and hesitant to take their stand on the Yahshua side. Most of them had rather lean on a man. Verse 8, hear now, O Joshua the high priest, thou and thy fellows have set before thee, for they are men wondered at, for behold, I will bring forth my servant, the branch, and that's Elijah David, and that's to start the 12th parabolic hour and the judgment of the living, 2002-2003. Alright, so we covered that. So admonition number 7 is always man's greatest test. And it says, and one of which has ever involved almost an instantaneous decision has been in the unrolling of the scroll and the eclipse of a past message by a new one, present truth. Track 3, page 9, paragraph 2 by V.D. Hoff. Admonition number 8 is, so in the time between the latter rain of the truth, the shepherd's rod, and the outpouring of the Spirit's power, there will be sealed a consecrated number who will escape from among the slain of the Yahweh. In other words, at the first fruit harvest, when all the sinners have been taken out of the Seventh-day Adventist church, and the righteous left by themselves, as were the 120 disciples in the upper room, then and only then can the Yahweh finally pour out His Spirit power upon all, so that all escaped ones shall prophesy, dream dreams, and see visions. AB 1, paragraph 91, whatever that is, page 91. Okay, it says, in other words, after the fourth angel's message, the shepherd's rod, the latter rain of the truth, had finished its work of the sealing 144,000, with the seal of Revelation 7:1-4, another angel of Revelation 18:1-4, the fifth angel, with its seal mark, arrived on earth in 1970. The seal or mark to consecrate number of the 144,000. So Brother Johnson here in 1998 writing that this all took place in 1970. The fourth angel came and sealed the 144,000. The fifth angel come and so forth, readying them for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, as was the outpouring for the 120 on the day of Pentecost. The type, the work of Yeshua and the apostolic church. The judgment for the living. Now here Brother Johnson is going to get into the judgment for the living. Okay, this brings the close. Let's set this hour. Contact us at the 11th hour call, and that's number 11. Click on our audio archives. We're going to close now with a song. Let the heavenly light shine through, baby, Elijah David. Well, you would not have known about a wonderful God if you hadn't created you. And you would not have known about his vast creation in the to pray, let the heavenly light shine through, and Yahweh's mercy when it comes, and then we'll have a heavenly home for you. Let the heavenly light shine through, let the heavenly light shine through, and Yahweh's mercy when it comes, and then we'll have a heavenly home for you. There would not have been a creation of earth above the sky, and the love of the peaceful living that flows.
Let the heavenly lights shine through. And you're in the place when it comes to the heavenly home.